Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Is the opposite of that true? Suppose I don't know the truth. And suppose I don't hold to the truth. Then will I be in bondage? Will I not be free? Does truth really matter? That's the subtitle of a book. A book that if you don't have, I'd strongly encourage you to get a copy of. It's a small book. The title is, How Do You Kill 11 Million People? And the subtitle is, Why the Truth Matters More Than You Think. And it's written by Andy Andrews. It's only 84 pages in long, but the last 30 of those pages are an interview with him. And basically, it's less than 50 pages long. It only takes 15 minutes to read. But it's well worth your read. He says in the introduction to the book that he's writing because he's concerned about our country. And he wanted to write something that would be for everybody in the country, both Republican and Democrat. For every individual in the country, regardless of what their political stance might be. He wanted to write something that he felt like that everybody in the country would benefit from and understand and, in bottom line, agree with. And so he wrote this book. And he raises the question, which is the whole theme of this book. How do you kill 11 million people? And actually, it was more than 11 million people. The 11 million people is just a rounded off number for the ones who actually died in the death camps or the concentration camps. Who actually died in those 15,000 different camps that the Germans had scattered all over the countries that they had occupied. So how do you kill 11 million people? And more than that, how do you get them to go willingly to their deaths? Not being forced to go, but going willingly. How do you do that and kill 11 million people? You lie to them. That's the whole answer. You kill 11 million people because you tell them a lie. Actually, more than one. But that's how you do it. You lie to them. Here are the lies. I'm going to read them to you. We're going to put them up on the screen as well. Adolf Eichmann is the one who formulated the lies along with the other rulers of Germany. And they wanted to figure out how they could bring the Jews, especially, although it was not just Jews that were killed. Every individual who went to those concentration camps had a triangle. And those triangles had different colors. The yellow ones were the ones that were worn by the Jews. But there were many different colors, and they were worn by different people. But they were all designated to be individuals or of a group that the Germans were interested in getting rid of. In connection with their society. With regard to the Jews, the lies started with this. All the neighborhoods that the Jews lived in were encircled by barbed wire. Eichmann met with all of the leaders of the Jewish people in that community and told them, "This is because we're at war, and this is for your own protection. And we guarantee you that all of those who remain inside of the barbed wire will be safe. And so the reason this is done is so that you will be protected not so that you will be confined. And they believed him. His speech was persuasive. And then the Germans, secondly, begin to give bribes or receive bribes from the Jews. Not give them, but receive them. And the word quickly spread that if you wanted to have more of the good things in life, or wanted to have more of what you would like to have and felt like you were being denied those things, all you have to do is give the German soldiers a bribe. And they would receive the bribe and make sure that you received those things that you wanted. And the very fact that the Germans would willingly receive bribes told the Jews, they don't really want to kill us. Because if their intent was to kill us and take everything we have, why would they accept bribes? They're accepting bribes because they don't have any intention of destroying us. And so the bribes were all a planned part of the deception, planned part of the lie. The other lie was the speech. And the speech was more often than not delivered by Eichmann himself. Eyewitnesses who were there have given an almost exact replication of the speech. And not only the speech, but the manner in which it was delivered. Because Eichmann would show up with some of that community's officials. And some of his officials, the majority of whom were not armed. And very few, if any, appeared to be soldiers. And he would call the entire town that was encircled by this particular section of barbed wire together. And he would stand in front of them, along with a few of the other representatives and officials. And then he would say this, "Jews, at last it can be reported to you that the Russians are advancing to our eastern front. I apologize for the hasty way we brought you into our protection. Unfortunately, there was little time to explain. You have nothing to worry about. We want only the best for you. You will leave here shortly and be sent to very fine places indeed. You will work there. Your wives will stay at home, and your children will go to school. You will have wonderful lives. You will be all terribly crowded on the trains, but the journey is short. Men, please keep your families together and board the rail cars in an orderly manner. Quickly now, my friends, we must hurry." And then in a car train made to fit 8 cows, over 100 people were crammed into one car made for 8 cows. And then the locks were locked. And their fate was sealed. So how do you kill 11 million people? You lie to them. You tell them what's not true. Adolf Hitler said, "How fortunate for leaders that men do not think. Make the lie big. Make it simple. Keep saying it. And eventually they will believe it." In his book, Adolf Hitler wrote, "The great masses of the people will more easily fall victim to a big lie than to a small one." How do you kill 11 million people? You lie to them. Our country in truth. 545 people currently directly, legally, morally, and individually are responsible for helping to solve or trying to solve America's problems. That's one president, 9 Supreme Court justices, 100 senators and 435 representatives. They are our representatives. They are our elected officials. We elect them. And we give those 545 people, we elect all of them except Supreme Court, but we give those 545 people a great deal of power over the rest of us. Have you noticed that the people we judge to be bad guys, we judge them by their actions. And those we determine are good guys, we judge them by their intentions, by what they really wanted to do. So how do we distinguish between the bad and the good? And what this book is all about and encouraging all of us to consider is this. Wouldn't truth be a good starting point? You may not know somebody, but do your best to find out, are they honest? Are they truthful? And you kind of look, we all are aware of this. We all realize it. We all know it. And it's one of those frustrating things about us. If we tell a lie, it's a felony. If our politicians tell a lie, we call it politics. And we give it a pass. But shouldn't truth be the thing that matters to us most of all in everything that we do and in every election that we have? While we may not be able to know them completely, can we look, at least investigate to see who's being honest? Who has the reputation of being honest? In the book, he raises a point that I thought was kind of interesting to think about, but you could do it to all number of things. How many politicians have gone to Washington promising us a balanced budget? Have we ever had one? And you think about all the promises that are made and then come back and think, has it ever happened? Well, what's going on that is not happening? And making the truth absolutely necessary with regard to our country. Why is it so important? Let me give just the last thing from this book, a little summary that he gives toward the end. Have you ever noticed, and is there a reason why the greatest civilizations of our world have averaged existing only about 200 years? And every single one of those civilizations followed a similar pattern. And that pattern was this. They go from bondage to spiritual faith. From spiritual faith, they go to courage. From courage, they go to liberty. From liberty, they go to abundance. From abundance, they go to complacency. And from complacency, they go to apathy. From apathy, they go to dependence. And from dependence, they go back to bondage. And it's a cycle that is almost continually repeated. Truth matters. It matters in everything. It matters when you go get your car fixed. It matters when you go buy something. It matters when you go to the doctor. It matters when you're in a marriage. It matters in every area of life. Truth matters. Does it matter to you? In every aspect of your life, do you determine that whatever else I'm going to be, I will be honest? And whatever else I'm going to be, I will be truthful. Truth matters. He doesn't mention this in the book, but I do. How do you kill 61,183,699 since 1973? What's the significance of 1973? That's when Roe versus Wade was decided. This number is the number at 5:29 in the morning on Thursday, April the 4th, 2019, which is when I wrote this outline. And you can go on the web and look at any abortion counter and understand what the current number is. It's continuing to grow. Although this year, there's a reduction. And this is one of the reasons why that movie that's out, Unplanned, is a very important movie. Because from the point of those who were working doing abortions, one of the lies was identified. How do you destroy or how do you kill 61 million babies? You lie. You tell them there's really nothing there. You tell them they don't feel anything. They don't know what's going on, and they feel no pain. And that's what this movie that's out identifies as a lie. How do you destroy humanity? How do you destroy all of humanity? You lie. What was the lie? You won't die. Can you eat of any tree in the garden? Yeah, we can eat of every tree except one. And if we eat of it, we will die. You won't die. God knows that if you eat that fruit, even like he told you not to do, you're not going to die. Everything's going to be fine. You're even going to become better than you are now. And the way you destroy humanity is you tell them the lie. And it's put every single one of us in sin. And every single one of us raised the question, is there hope? Yes, there is. I want you to read with me these two passages, both as we start the book of John. John chapter 1, we're going to read verse 14, then we're going to read verse 17 and 18. It's good that our children, our kids, are studying this book for Leadership Training for Christ, and that this is the book that the Bible questions will be coming from. Not to say that these three verses will be included in the questions, but these three verses. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and the only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Ask yourself, does the truth matter to me? Does the truth matter to me about me? Does the truth matter to me in my dealings with other people? Does the truth matter to me in everything? Verse 17 and 18, the Bible will say, for the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in closest relationship with the Father, he has made him known. Jesus is truth. God's word is truth. He died for your sins. That's truth. He died so that you can have eternal life if you put trust in him. That's truth. He's coming again. That's truth. We will stand before him and give an account of everything we've done in life. That's truth. And those who've been faithful to him, trusted him, will live forever in heaven. Well, there will never again be bondage. That's truth. Do you believe Jesus? Do you trust him? Have you come into him, been baptized into him? Do you need to come home to him?